do the voice.
You know what? You see us, we in the session turning up. You got 10 minutes. If you fuck up my nigga's vibe, I'm gonna fuck you up. So let's get this going like right now.
Oh, this is incredible. I can't believe that we're here.
Damn, son. Where'd you find this?
What do you want to start with? Guess the Leafs, right? Makes the most sense. Well, folks. Oh, shit. Do I hear reverb? Check the other natural flat pick. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Cool. Well, folks, you probably saw it, but they did it again. It feels different.
It does. I'm not as sad about it this year.
Yeah. I knew before the series started that I didn't really feel... I didn't buy into the narrative of they have to get through a first round to prove something.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
I just didn't buy into it. It didn't feel like it was totally necessary, especially when the plot of teams that you were up against were what they were. Now, if you were up against Boston and lost in the first round, it would be a tragedy.
Yeah, that or like Washington, you know?
Right, right. Boston would hurt a bit more.
Yeah, I guess because of the history involved there.
And I think that's why it hurt so much last year. It was literally the Montreal Canadiens. And then they ended up going to the final. Which could have been us.
Let's just see Tampa go to the final this year, you know? Like, let them do the three-peat.
Yes.
But don't get taken to seven by anyone else, so I can feel a little bit better about the Leafs, too.
Right, right.
Just throw that in there as like a little sprinkle of positivity for us Leafs fans.
Yeah, who knows, man? Who knows? I really think they'll continue to go do damage. I think the Leafs were a tough opponent.
Indeed.
Dude, they didn't have to sell the family farm.
Nope.
For this playoff season.
And they were still good. They still had a really good team.
Like, how much better was sending off that second and getting back Gio and Blackwell?
Yeah.
And then last year, like, in comparison, we had to send up the first and we got back Nick fucking Foligno.
An injured Nick Foligno.
Who played not a lot.
Nope.
Giordano and Blackwell were both noticeable all the time.
Yeah, honestly, Blackwell on that fourth line, he was great. He was great in the regular season. He was great in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a lot of hustle, a lot of fight to him. He's strong.
Tenacity.
I think he's 5'9", but like 190 pounds.
Tenacity, I believe they call that. You think he's going to stick around?
You know what? If he can sign at around or under $1 million, I would love to see Blackwell stick around. That's somebody that you need for a playoff run. You know, he's kind of like, it's kind of like a junior... Or rather, a diet right-handed Yanni Gourde.
Wow. I thought you were going to the Zach Hyman section of things.
I think Zach Hyman just has more offensive upside.
More hand skills, I'd say. Blackwell's faster skater.
Yeah. Blackwell just gets into the dirty areas. He's a bit of a pest.
Mm-hmm.
Not easy to get the puck off of. Not too easy, at least.
Yeah. Well, Blackwell's contract is expiring. Yeah, he was getting paid $725,000 this year, so I think we would, you know, it's unlikely that that'll happen again, right?
I'm not sure. He's what? He's 29. He's not exactly an offensive master. What is it? What are his past contracts looking like?
Same thing. This is his only NHL contract.
Is only one. I could see him getting another 1 year deal at around $1 million.
Okay. All right.
Maybe 900K, 800K. You know, give him another chance to prove himself before any team really commits to a $2-3 million.
Yeah, his first time in the league, 2018 with the Predators, 6 games played, no points. Then he played 27 games the next year, got 10 points. For the New York Rangers, he played 47 games in 2020 and got 22 points is not bad at all. Almost not half a point a game. For $700,000. And then last year, I guess he got picked up by the Kraken. 17 points in 39 games. With the Leafs, he got 3-19. Yeah, actually, you're right. I think, of course, if that's the price, you bring him back 1,000,000%, right?
For sure. We'll see what ends up happening there.
Because you're losing guys. We got to go through we're going to go through all of the expiring contracts. And the next one here, I don't think this guy's coming back. Ilya Mikheyev.
Yeah, he's a UFA. Rough times.
UFA, he's 27, so just getting through his prime. Spot of his career-ish. 1.6 mil was his last deal, I believe. 2, maybe 3 year. Yeah, 2 year. 1.6 per. He's 6'3", 200 pounds. God damn it, man.
Yeah, he's fast.
72 points in 146 NHL games. In the past 3 years, he went 39 games played for the Leafs, 23 points. 54 games, 17 points. Bit of a drop off there, yeah. Not great. But this year, changing everything around, 53 games, the same amount as the year before, he almost doubled it and got 34 points.
Yeah, 21 goals too.
Now, the last thing you want to do is sign a guy like this and he starts getting that 17 points again.
Yeah.
But I bet you there is a team that will take that risk. I just don't know if it's going to be the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Mikheyev kind of reminds me of like a Joel Armia, where he's really fast. He can score some goals. He's got, you know, the defensive game too, but he's just going to get paid too much money and really underperform. And that's just kind of how I view Mikheyev.
Right.
All right. Damn, he was like good on the Leafs, especially this year, but.
Andrei Kasha. 1.2 mil. He's expiring as an RFA. He's 26, 6 feet, 190. Everyone knows he's a bit of a glass cannon. That was kind of his reputation out in Boston. Don't remember him playing out in Anaheim too much, but he has been playing there since 2016. Slowly getting more and more points. This year in 2017, he got 38 points in 66 games. That's not too shabby at all. Hasn't really done anything of that production since coming to the Leafs. This year, 50 games played, 27 points. You know, I guess his reputation comes from being in Boston. In two seasons, he only played 9 games and got 1 point. But the Leafs took a risk on him, and he's expiring as an RFA, and he's got over half a point a game. With the precarity of his health status, you got to think they'll get a deal on him and probably re-sign him, especially if you're looking at a season where you want to have opportunities for young guys to get up in the lineup. Steves, Knees.
Yep, I agree.
Automobiles, you know? But Steves, Knees, and Abruzze, Robertson, you know?
Yeah, Robertson.
So you probably don't mind if this guy that's in your bottom six is like, he has to miss 32 games. It's not the end of the world.
Yeah, it's not bad. When you got the core four guys who I think are probably going to stick around, you know, they're still going to win games. They're still going to find ways to outscore opponents. So, yeah, if you're throwing in rookies trying to figure out some chemistry or figure out where their place is in the lineup, I don't think that's a bad idea at all.
We'll come to the core at the end of this. We just want to rip through all the expiring guys real quick. Okay, Pierre Engvall, also an RFA, 25, 1.2 mil his last contract. He's 6'5", 214, the giraffe. God, only ever been with the Leafs, getting 15 and 48, then 12 and 42, and this year 35 points in 78 games. Something about these guys, they start performing once they know they got a contract coming up.
Yeah, that's the way it goes. Look at Johnny Gaudreau and Matthew Tkachuk right now.
Yeah, kind of rough, but you got to be excited for it.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Like, obviously, you like him. You like him as a player. You probably don't expect any development, but if he is this guy, it's essentially just under half a point a game. That's a perfect bottom six role, especially when he's getting a lot of PK time and the type of role that he plays on PK.
He's
that
good.
Big, long stick. Yeah, man, the Leafs led the league in shorthanded goals this year for a reason. And I think players that we might have to get rid of, like Mikheyev, Engvall, are definitely a big reason for that.
Yeah, if you
could... Well, they're the two wingers.
You know? If you could reunite Engvall and Kampf on that third line next season, and, you know, maybe Nylander's there the whole year, or somebody else is there, you know, but I think having those two back on the third line would be a really good start for the Leafs bottom six. It just depends on how much he's going to be asking for.
I agree with you. I think if it's over two, you got to start reconsidering some things, especially with term.
Yeah, same thing with Kasha.
Okay, Jason Spezza. He's 38.
Come back as a coach, man. Yeah. Assistant coach or something in player development for the Leafs.
What if he signs like a two-way deal?
Yeah, so if he's not playing or he's not expected to play, he can just be sent down, and then the cap, he doesn't have to go through waivers, or he can just threaten to retire again. But then he doesn't affect the cap as much, which is huge.
Well, yeah, I'm thinking there's opportunities for him to just not impact the cap. Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't even know if that's that nice. But maybe if he can become a coach and just teach them all how to take face-offs.
Yeah, that'd be fantastic.
Yeah, he should literally just be the face-off coach where he comes out every time they were practice, and he travels with the squad for games, for when they have away practices.
Yeah.
And he just takes face off against them all the time. Mm-hmm. And he like, because like, you don't need to, you know, you don't need to be fast.
Yeah.
You don't need your stamina
to take face offs.
Yeah, you need to be fast with your hands, but not your skates. So.
No, I know what you meant.
All right, we went over Blackwell, Mark Giordano.
I'd love to see him back at a cheap, cheap deal.
Yeah, everyone would. He's a homeboy, you know, so it's actually plausible. I think it's possible, so that's all that we'll say. Ilya Lyubushkin. I liked him up there, man. I think that, like, if this team is serious about wanting to be competitive, then you kind of got to need a few more seasons like this season where you take a step back and you don't sell the first round pick and you don't move all these assets and you go, all right, we got to actually wait until a few more pieces in place or solid pieces are in place. And that's what I loved about, or that's what I'm a little concerned about Jack Campbell.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know if he's that piece, 30-year-old goalie.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
We'll talk about what the Leafs offered for him for his contract. But I think Lyubushkin would be like a good, you know, third line guy moving up to the second line in opportunities when there's injuries. But on your first line, I mean, if you can get him for this discount, that's great. And it's not unprecedented to see non-multidimensional defense playing top minutes. If they just know how to shut down and they can skate for 25 plus minutes a night, like the Chernaks, then, you know, you'll get to play with Victor Hedman the whole night. But no one's talking about Chernak. Everyone's talking about Hedman. And the thing is, I don't know if you can do that with the Leafs, one, because Morgan Rielly isn't Victor Hedman. And two, Ilya Lyubushkin isn't Eric Chernak.
Yeah. But those two together were like a top pairing. They were great.
Yeah, I loved it. But I'm just saying, like, yeah, you'll win a bunch of games in the regular season. But you put them, this lineup against Tampa Bay for 7 games, and you lose, you know? So I'm thinking, like, it might even be pricey and might hurt your future next, not only just next year, but like 2 or 3 or 4 plus years down the line, and really destroy any of your chances of doing something dominant with this group if you make hasty decisions to get guys back for right now.
Mm-hmm.
And like, yeah, if the price is right, then Lyubushkin is nice, but I don't see a huge desire for him, especially with us needing to sign Sandin and Liljegren.
Yeah, I was going to say, with Sandin and Liljegren coming up as well, I feel like you're going to see bridge deals for them that keeps them within RFA status whenever the deal expires, because they're still in their early 20s, right?
Right.
So I think before the age of 27, if you're 26 and haven't played a certain amount of seasons, you're still considered an RFA. So both those guys, if they're on 2-year deals, probably have them on RFA status again. I think that's probably the best thing to do if you're Kyle Dubas.
Yeah, that's the word on the street. The thing is, that like, that's a Travis Dermott move, or maybe he was only getting the 1.5. But yeah, I just feel like these guys are higher pedigree, and I think just to make it work with this team, you have to do the bridge deal. Plus, you don't really know who these guys are yet. You got to go the bridge deal. But word on the street's around $2 million plus for 2 years.
Yeah, I think that makes sense.
Jack Campbell expiring.
God damn, it's going to be a Mrazek-Schalgren tandem next year.
No. You know, I would love to see Schalgren come back. I don't really care if he's the backup. I thought he was fine, to be honest.
Honestly, I thought he did well.
Yeah.
He had a couple shaky games, but, you know, he's a rookie.
Yeah, I don't know if Mrazek ever got his footing kind of glass.
No. Glass wall.
So that's not that sick. Jack Campbell, apparently the Leafs offered him a
2.75.
And he said that's well under what he was asking for.
Yes.
So, again, reminder, Jack Campbell is 30 years old. He's going to be turning 31 in 2022, I guess.
Yeah, he's also got some injury issues.
Yeah, he's got some injury issues, and he just started being a starter 1 year ago.
Yeah.
So I think Soup's era in Toronto is probably over.
And that's kind of heartbreaking.
It's kind of heartbreaking. I'm going to miss him. But I think, like, a bit, even with him here, like, let's say you re-sign Soup, and he was fantastic in the playoffs. Let's say you bring back Soup, and Yeah, he's your goalie. And next year, in the first round of the playoffs, you're up against the Tampa Bay Lightning. And the big question again is, oh my God, the fucking goalie. The Leafs are great. You know, yeah. Let's say we manage to get back another pretty good D-core, because I don't think we'll see defense this good next year. Let's say it happens. And then, so it's a slightly worse D from this year.
Right.
Same Tampa team, same whatever. But they still got Vasilevskiy and we still got Campbell. It's just the same thing. And it's like, well, you made all of these investments in these pieces, including opportunities to play. Because, you know, Campbell in that starting role playing those 40, 50 games could be someone else.
Yeah.
Who could just become a guy. And you'll never know if you don't try. You're doing all that just for the same result. Just for the same likelihood of, you know. And it just seems like flipping the coin, being like, all right, well, we just got to get lucky in the next seven games against the Lightning. And I don't know if that's enough. So I'm just trying to think 2 years out, 3 years out. Get this team in a legit position where Matthews goes, I don't need to win in these next 2 or 3 years before my contract's up. Because
I'm going to re-sign at a discount to help us win three in a row.
Not re-sign at a discount, just re-sign at all. Because the team is in a position where I can see it will continue to do damage in the future. And like, Morgan Rielly will still be here for sure. But who is the goaltender? Who is the guy that Vasilevskiy is going to go up against? We don't have a Carey Price.
No.
We don't have a Ben Bishop.
Ain't no Tuukka Rask.
No.
Almost that way. We did have Tuukka Rask a long time ago, but...
So, yeah, man, I don't know. I just think thinking about the franchise long-term, including keeping Matthews around.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, this is obviously just me, like, sitting on my couch and being the couch GM. You know, I know nothing about the interpersonal relationships of that locker room and how devastating it is to see, like, one of your friends, one of your close teammates who everyone adores leaves.
Yeah, for sure.
But Freddie Anderson did it, and then fucking Matthews scored 60 goals, so clearly it's not enough to ruin his performance. I don't know that Soup is going to be any different. He was only here for, I don't know, two-ish years?
Yeah, two and a half-ish.
How long was Freddie here? Ever since a young, impressionable Austin Matthews was here. Like, those memories probably mean more to him. So I don't know that, like, getting rid of Soup is going to disrupt the locker room so much that it'll throw all these players off their game, especially after it just happened.
Yeah, for sure. I hear you there.
So I've heard through the rumor mill. Well, let's just frame this. Let's say they decide they're not going to run it back with this core. And by this core, I mean the top five players on the team. Tavares, Nylander, Marner, Matthews,
Rielly.
And Rielly. Let's say they decide we're not going to run it back this year. We're going to make major changes. You can't trade Tavares because he has a no-move clause. You're not going to trade Austin Matthews because he's potentially the best player in the league. The most valuable. Mm-hmm. And you're not going to trade Marner because...
There's no way you get a good return on that.
For what he's worth, and he's just fantastic. You just want that.
Yeah.
You know, he probably sells a lot of tickets too. Toronto boy, local boy. It's a great story. It'd be like totally devastating to the fan base.
Yeah.
Well, Nylander is totally pliable. He's plastic. He's that's the only one that you could maybe move. You're not Morgan Rielly, you're not gonna do him because he's your sickest defense and he's locked up long term for a sick deal that'll only appreciate in value over time if his performance maintains its pace. And he will end up leading the franchise in games played if he finishes that contract. So like keep the guy around. William Nylander, $7 million off the books. You're missing a big piece.
Very large.
You're missing a big piece all of a sudden because William Nylander on that third line is nasty.
Yeah, it is.
I don't know if it's making up for the $7 million, but
you know, point per game guy this season was on pace for 40 goals for a long time as well. Look,
I'll preface this right now by saying I think they should run it back. I think they should run it back. I think they should... Dude, you could maybe even keep Mrazek, but I think it's preferable to try him.
To try and sell him.
Try and get rid of him. And I don't know who you bring in. We'll try and brainstorm this later off, but... Someone new, someone young and fresh. I don't know if it's the Carter Hartz. I don't know what kind of guy it is, but someone, you know? Peterson? I don't know, man. But... So I don't want the top four... The top five. I don't want the core to go away. But if they did, it could only plausibly be Nylander.
Yeah.
Oh, we're good.
Yeah, I heard that for a quick second, too.
And I have heard, through the rumor mill, that a team looking at trading for William Nylander with the Toronto Maple Leafs is our good pals, the New York Islanders.
Yeah, and who do they want for him? Or rather, who are they going to give us for him?
Well, that's a big question, isn't it? This thing's really spitting, dude.
Their team's just, like, full of old guys and then Barzal.
Huh? And who else?
Sorokin? There's no fucking way.
Well, I mean, who are you going to trade then? What if they took Bill and Mrazek and fucking Lou Lamoriello sitting over there saying, when I saw Peter Mrazek playing systems games in Carolina, he was fantastic. He goes to a more loose defense-based operation out in Toronto, and much like Freddie Anderson gets blown the fuck up, and Freddie Anderson puts out a career year when they switch places and he goes to Carolina, Lou Lamoriello is probably sitting there going, dude, this team plays like a fucking systems team, but we got no goddamn scoring. We have no scoring.
Yeah, get somebody to help out Barzal.
Get somebody to help out Barzal, and maybe you re-sign Varlamov instead of letting him go, and maybe you take the Mrazek contract and give him a whirl and let Sorokin go develop somewhere else.
Yeah, they would need to hire another systems coach because Barry Trotz did get fired just a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, but I just mean historically speaking, the Islanders aren't about to pick up. I don't know. They might pick up fucking Babcock, and that's another systems coach.
Oh, man, if they sent us Ryan Pulock and just like a solid third-lining guy. I still don't even know if it's worth it.
But no,
it's like,
I don't think
seems,
it is.
It just seems a bit more
just shakes up legit our than team Sorokin. So much.
Sorokin was absolutely unreal this year. I genuinely don't think... I think he's an untouchable for the New York Islanders.
I don't know.
Unless they get something super lucrative.
But are you saying so you might not agree with my thesis, but are you saying it's completely outlandish? Because I think it is sound. Like, I think there's valid points.
Not completely outlandish. I just...
Like, the rationale is sound. Yeah. They may not be real points that we have any evidence to source from, but I'm trying to just say, hey, maybe he could be doing this. And, like, I'm probably doing all those maybes in an extremely biased perspective, which is me just intensely tunnel-visioned on getting Sorokin on the Leafs.
That'd be so... Yeah, I'd love Sorokin on the Leafs, man.
Yeah, man. I don't know what he would look like. That's the thing. I think you might bring Sorokin in, and all of a sudden you're going, oh my God, sub-900.
Yeah.
And you're going, all right, well, maybe you need to get a big goalie that, like, maybe you just need to fucking figure out what kind of goalie plays good with this team. Okay, I saw some Reddit post today that showed there's, like, 5 different goalie types. Like 5 main, or there's 3 main goalie types and 2 subtypes, which are a blend. And then there's like scramble, reaction, and blocker, or something like that. Scrambler, reactor, blocker. And it showed Vasilevsky's a blocker. I don't know who they showed as a scrambler, but I'd think Jack Campbell's a scrambler.
He feels like a bit of a scrambler.
Yeah. And I guess Carey Price is a reactor. Josie Saros is a reactor.
I was about to say, I feel like Josie Saros would do well with the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Yeah, man. Well,
Because Nashville isn't exactly the most defensive team.
I was about to say they are. Well, look at their defense. They have the best defense in the league.
Well, I don't know. I think the way the season went for them would say otherwise, but...
The Nashville Predators?
Yeah.
They made the playoffs.
Yeah, and they got absolutely stomped by Colorado.
Yeah, by Colorado.
Yeah.
It would be
Colorado's
like,
probably got the best defense in the league.
The best defenseman.
Oh, the best defenseman.
That's
yeah,
what
okay.
I'm saying. Josi.
Okay, you got Josi.
So you have that as your core. Yeah. And you have responsible guys coming up under that. I think... Yeah, actually, I don't know how much of a systems they are, but I'm kind of getting on the same thesis with you and saying Josi Saros might do well with the Leafs because he's a small goaltender that's very athletic.
Yep.
So he might be, like, just an intensely reactive guy that plays perfectly when it's all loose. And in that way, it might be great. But on the flip side of the coin, if I could play devil's advocate, I'm thinking he's benefiting from Nashville's defensiveness.
Mm.
that Toronto doesn't have that he, when he comes, we might go, oh, what the fuck?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I haven't watched enough of their game, but they don't strike me. They strike me as a physical team, right? But they don't strike me as a team that plays defense well.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I mean when I say, like, they don't strike me as a defensive team.
Yeah, we should trade Willie to Nashville.
For Saros, fucking fuck yeah, I might take that. But again,
what other goalies are about? This is a big note.
About Ottinger?
Well, obviously, but I don't think he's going anywhere. No. Look at this.
Well, just like Sorokin.
No. That's different. One, because Varlamov is tried and tested as being decent in New York, more so than Braden Holtby. Two,
they got Hudobin still, bro.
Two, I don't think Dallas is looking for extra scoring in this, young players that can score in the same way that New York is. Three, Soroka's probably better than Ottinger.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Dude, coming off this year, Phil Kessel. Can you believe we're still paying $1.2 million for that?
Yeah, I think his contract coming off the books, as well as the $1 million increase to the cap, pretty much covers Riley's pay increase. Because he went from like $5 million to $7.5 million, or $5.5 to $7.5. That $2.25 or $2.5 we get this year has already pretty much been filled.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was a great deal for Riley, so I'm not complaining about that at all.
All right, yo, we're about to look at goalies. This is a good hockey podcast, folks, and you should check out pucklegends.ca for some of the best t-shirts they've ever seen. Am I fucking dumb? Yes, I am. Okay, goaltender.
UC Saros was third in the league for wins this year.
Yeah, damn. All right, Charlie, here are your free agent goaltenders. One, Marc-Andre Fleury.
Oh, yeah.
Would you like him?
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, sure. Why not? Do you think he'd come?
No.
Yeah, me neither. Apparently, he doesn't want to pay the tax.
Yeah, I also feel like he wants to have a bit more fun and maybe getting shit on by the Leafs media at the end of your career isn't the way Marc-Andre Fleury wants to go out.
Super true. Okay, number two, Mikko Koskinen.
I don't want him.
Don't care. Okay, number three, Darcy Kemper.
Yeah,
he's going to get re-signed.
Yeah, he is going to get re-signed.
They paid her first for him. They'll re-sign him.
Definitely think he's going to stay there. But I'd love to have Kemper.
Number four, Thomas Greisch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not okay. Interested.
Number five, Jonas Korpisalo.
I don't know.
He's 28.
He's had some good years. He played great for Columbus in a couple of playoffs, namely the play-in round, the first COVID year, it was Columbus versus Tampa.
Right.
And he like set a record for most saves by a goalie in a single playoff game because they went to, you know, the fifth overtime, whatever it was. He looked really good in that series.
Yo, okay, number eight is Jack Campbell. Man, where would he even sign? Who would sign him? Who else around the league would want a guy like Jack Campbell? Dude, I was going to say Detroit.
Yeah.
Dab me up, bro. We're going to see, folks. You heard it here first. Jack Campbell's getting signed in Detroit. Mark the date, May 16th, 2022.
Yeah, something like that, you know. I don't know, maybe Buffalo wants him. I don't think he'd want to go to Buffalo.
Nah.
But, you know, this is something like that.
Chicago?
Yeah, they need a goalie.
Lankanen's expiring, $800K. I bet you they'd re-sign him, though.
Probably re-signed Lankanen if... Oh, yeah, actually, yeah, definitely re-signed Lankanen. All right,
we're just going to fly through the rest of these because they're really uninteresting. Yaroslav Halak, Casey DeSmith, David Riddick, Phoenix Copley. That's a sick name. We're going to make that. We're going to do a list of the best...
Phoenix Copley.
...hockey names.
It's a good name.
Chris Clapperton is up. Oh, dude, for my new job, You know who there's a hockey player named Chris Clapperton?
Mm.
I told you about this, right?
Yes, you did.
Chris Clapperton. Chris. Yo, there's a guy from a new job. I don't want to put him on blast, actually. But this is his name.
Nice.
Yeah.
Clapperton is his last name. That's pretty sick.
Dude, don't dox him. yeah, Phoenix Copley, Colin D'Elia, his brother is a pedophile, I heard. Malcolm Subban, Scott Wedgwood, Keith Kincaid, Kevin Lankinen. You know what, man? If the Leafs could get a look at Kevin Lankinen, who knows? Magnus Helberg, Calvin Picard, Alex Stolak, Aaron Dell, Carter Hutton, John Gillies, Callum Booth, Felix Sandstrom, Craig Anderson. Ooh, Ville Husso is a free agent. Ville
Husso would be interesting. He did end the year pretty poorly, but he did have an unbelievable start, an unbelievable first half.
Eric Comrie's a free agent.
That's yeah, I'm not cool. too excited about Ooh, that. Ooh,
Garrick Sparks, return of,
yes.
of Sparky.
Yes.
How about Louis Domingue, the spicy pork man?
The spicy pork, yeah, you know what? He did pretty well for the Penguins.
All right, yo.
In the playoffs.
Let's wrap up this up. Can you take us out?
All right, folks. Thanks for listening. Tune back in over the next few days. We're going to be coming out with some episodes about the playoffs, predicting the next rounds and who's going to win the East, who's going to win the West, and who we think is going to win the Stanley Cup. Thanks for listening. Really appreciate it. All you guys are great. And take care. Make sure you check out pucklegends.com. They got the best t-shirts that you can find. .ca, not .com, .ca. Pucklegends.ca. Bye.